It is easier to be human than it is to be absolute. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campbell, California, with Absolute Philosopher. It is easier to be human than it is to be absolute. That's obvious. I mean, everyone knows that. It doesn't even have to be said. However, perhaps it has to be thought about a little bit. Why is it easier to be human than it is to be divine? Why is it easier to be human than it is to be absolute? Well, the world is designed by itself on the human frame. The world is not designed by the divine creation of the world on a human frame, but it's designed on a divine frame. And the humans are doing their utmost to make the divine frame a human frame. Now, one illustration, which is an interesting one, is every time we see an animal do something that's charming, we say, oh, that's just so cute. What we mean is it's something that we find charming. Now, the animal may just come over and lick you because it licks. That's its nature to lick. Its nature is to go around checking people out, checking dogs out and cats out or whatever, and it licks them to get the scent of them on its tongue. We say, yucky, yucky, pooey, you know, and that's because we're not an animal. However, when baby puppies are born and the puppies have not excavated or defecated themselves completely and perfectly, the mother dog licks it off of the bottom of the baby and doesn't think a thing about it. Doesn't spit it out or anything else. That's her baby. That's the baby coming into its own and coming out into its own. And the mother licks it up and like little love. If Button has any tears in his eyes or any eye things, Button love tries to lick them off, you know. And if there's anything in his ears, you got to always check his ears and lick his ears and think. And we think, oh, that's so terrible. Now, you see, we're comparing it to what humans do. And dogs have a tendency to eat the feces of other dogs and their own. And we say, wow, what a yucky, yucky thing. And according to the books on dog training and dog skills and the veterinarian books on dogs, this is a perfectly normal thing. You want to train them against doing it because it is not a pleasant thing for humans to be aware of. But as far as dogs are concerned, that's what they call their little treats that they find. And we say, yuck, treats, my goodness sakes. You know. Now, you see, what is natural for dogs and natural for animals is the most wonderful thing in the world because it helps them to get along in their world in a harmonious way. The dogs who, so to speak, eat their feces of other dogs are not angry at other dogs that they eat the feces of because there's a kinship already within them. I say, well, my gosh, what a way to have a kinship. Well, that's from our human point of view. Now, we say that if there's a ship and the ship is sinking and women and children are supposed to be saved first, well, that's great. Women and children should be saved. The ship in the first place shouldn't sink. Now, that's a silly thing that we put into motion. But then when we put it into motion, we make these statements before that about it. So if the ship sinks, the women and children are first, and then they have no men around to help row the boats. They have no men to take care of the manly details that men are oftentimes supposed to be taken care of. And so the life rafts go adrift and sink without the help of a man to offer whatever help they can offer. Now, you see, these are the things that we build up within us. We call it humanity. And we call it humanity. You should just have one superior male in every lifeboat, if you will, and then put whoever else you can in there, women and children and what have you. But if you don't have a guide, if you don't have a captain for the boat, then what good is it? If you need a captain for a boat in the middle of the ocean, how what do you need for a life raft? My goodness sakes, you really need someone who is in charge. But you see, we're looking at it, women and children first, you know, save the women, save the children, and so forth like that. Well, those are noble and beautiful sentiments, but they're not realistic. Now, we won't argue the points of humanism and animalism and other things any further. However, we will say that what is the divine idea? If an animal, here we go again, if an animal has a hurt, an animal will withdraw unto himself and let the hurt heal and then be back again. If a human knows an animal has a hurt, a human immediately wants to go and mend it and put medicine on it and do all sorts of things and cause perhaps the animal to save the life or limb or whatever, but not. And then back again, when the mother chicken kicks certain chicks out of the nest, we think, no, no, no. Or the mother cat kicks certain cats out of the nest and won't let them suckle, won't let them grow. We think, how terrible. We try to put that cat back in again. Well, we don't know it, but that cat is imperfect and will not survive and will not come along unless it has a lot of special care that the mother cat cannot give it. Now, to be human and to be divine is a big test for all of us. Now, are we willing to go with the test to be divine? Now, to be divine means one thing. You absolutely accept the fact that whatever you're experiencing in your life, you have brought there by your thought, period. To be divine, you know that everything that you're experiencing in your life, you are brought there by your thought. And that the thought then, too, is good. But the thing is, if you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about every thought that you have brought into your life, are you going to bring sinking ships in your life? Are you going to bring problems into your life? Are you going to bring circumstances in your life that you don't want? Well, you will if you have thoughts about them. And you won't if you don't have thoughts about them. Well, Herbert, you can't just not have thoughts about things and not experience them. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You train yourself. You train yourself. Some people are in Ellen, what's the sign you saw in the car today? Attitude is everything.
Yeah.
She saw this sign in the car. I thought surely she would come right out with it. And she brought it to my attention. She said, look, Herb, see that sign in the car? It says, attitude is everything. And we've seen that sign before. And it's a very good sign. But truly, attitude is everything. Your thought, attitude is thought. Your thought is everything. Whatever thought you have, this is what you experience. Now, the race consciousness is to have us think human thoughts. And we go along with the race consciousness because we think that's the proper and a good thing to do. We think it's a good thing to mind your mother. We think it's a good thing to mind your father. We think it's a good thing to mind your parents or mind your peers, you know, that your elders. We think it's a good thing to go to school. We think it's a good thing to develop your body. We think it's, well, all sorts of things like that. We think it's good. And is it? Is it? They have shown that a scientist who is working on a formula or working on a project uses twice as much energy as an athlete who is in a very heavy football game or soccer game or lifting weights or something like that. And that's amazing. But that's a fact. And so, really, you would think all scientists would be skinny. Well, they're not all thinking. Many of them are thinking sometimes, and they come up with some great thoughts, and then they sort of sit back on their laurels and don't do much thinking and just do a lot of eating. But when they think, they use a great deal of energy. So we think that children should, well, for instance, that's another point. We think that children should go out and play with the other children to socialize, to learn to get along with other children. And yet, children are not learning to get along with other children. Children are learning to be the best that they can be. So if, for instance, you had a child and you trained that child to respect itself, to respect its thought about itself, to think only good thoughts about itself, and to respect the family that it's in, and to live in a harmonious way. And then the child is now 21 years old, and he is thrown into the environment of others. Now, is he going to be able to socialize with the others? Perfectly. He respects himself, and he respects everybody else like he respects himself. He would not do anything to anyone else he would not want done to himself. He would not talk in any way to anyone else that he would not respect having someone talk to him in that same way. Can you see? Now, this socialization, I'm not against it or for it. I'm just saying this socialization is not really necessary because we say it is so necessary. Now, you take a child who's a genius and you have him associate with the other children and who are not geniuses, who are just ordinary students and who, I don't know, okay, you got me, you know, beats me. You know, you've heard that before. And when children say that, do you want your children around them? I would think not. Now, we talked about this before. The king and queen, they cannot allow their children to play with the other children in their realm. Because if they do, then the princelings will be like the other children in the realm. They will have all the limitations of them and all the desires of them, and they will think that monarchy is wrong and democracy is good and things like that. And they will not make good kings and queens, because they will think like the people think. And the king and queen are not there to think like the people think. The king and queen are there to think like the king and queen do, on a very royal basis, on a very noble basis, on a basis that exceeds what the humans would think. Now we go back again to our dear friend King Solomon. And King Solomon said to these two women, "Hey, girls, whose kid is this?" And they both said, "Mine." And he said, "All right, we'll take the axeman. Come here. Cut the kid in half and give him each half." No, let her have it. The one who spoke up first was the real mother. And he knew that. Now, how did he know that? How did he have the wisdom to let such a thing go by and have such a terrible hurt go on into the women? The women were already terrible for not the one, but the other who said it was her child. It wasn't. But they were already doing terrible things, and the king would have no part of it. He just said, "All right, now who is the real mother?" And the real mother was instantly shown by the king's action. Now, a commoner could never have done it. He would not have the heart to actually cut the kid in half. Now, the king didn't have to do it either. But he went through the gesture. And the gesture is just as much as doing the thing. You understand? The gesture is just as much as doing the thing. And you think that wasn't easy for the king? It took a lot from him. He knew he wasn't going to do it, but he also knew that it was just going to kill one of the women, and that's the real mother. It was just going to utterly destroy her and make her feel, oh! But he had to have what was right action done. And sometimes what is right action done is a very inhuman action, you know. And this is what that was, a very inhuman action. But it was a divine action. And so divine actions oftentimes, just by that illustration alone, divine actions oftentimes far supersede anything our human could ever require of us or ever allow us to do. Now, a person's got a cold. There, that's okay. You'll be all right. That's okay. And we know in our heart they're not going to be all right. We know in our heart we're lying. And they do too. They do too. And you think, oh, that's so nice. It's a blessing. It's a nurse coming in, giving on the healing touch. Well, no. If you would go in and say, "Hey, I look right past that illness, that hurt, that whatever you got, and you're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. You're wonderful. I love you. You're fantastic. You're wonderful. I love you." And the person, oh, don't you know? I won't allow you to be unhappy in my presence. Oh, but I want to feel sick. No, I won't allow you to feel sick in my presence. Oh, but I got this hurt. See, the blood is coming. I won't allow that to happen in my presence, because in my presence, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You see, to be divine, to be absolute, you cannot allow yourself for one little instant to see what the human sees. Yeah? And the human sees all of these things and feels so pathetic, feels so sorry for themselves. And that's sickening in itself. But they feel so pathetic and sorry for themselves that they are completely incompetent. They're completely incompetent. The doctor is on the battlefield, and he sees gangrene coming up on the arm of a patient. Now, the doctor doesn't have anything, any morphine or anything to put on the wound. So he gives the patient a bullet to bite on, and he takes an axe and chop, off goes the arm, and then he sews it up and bandage it, and it's done. But if the gangrene is going to come in, it's going to destroy the whole man. But cutting off that little bit of the arm is only going to make the arm be lost, which is bad enough. But could you be that doctor? Could you be that doctor and not be humane and say, and feel the pain of the patient? The doctor cannot afford to feel the pain of the patient, nor can the nurse. As they go from patient to patient and do whatever they feel must be done. Now, truly, if the doctor were an absolute doctor, he wouldn't be a doctor, but if he were an absolute doctor, he would take his hand and he'd say, this arm is whole and perfect. You know, the gangrene is gone. This arm is whole. But who's got the guts to do that? Mm. Not only the guts, but the belief to do it. The belief that you can speak your word and that it is so and it is done. Who's got that? Well, Jesus did it. Now, how many others since him did it? His own disciples, the 12 little characters who were playing the game with him, they even couldn't do it. And he said, oh, ye of little faith, you don't believe in yourself. Now, Jesus was expressing absolute qualities in virtually everything he did. The Buddha expressed absolute qualities in many things that he did. He played a lot of human games, and Jesus played a lot of human games too. The parables that Jesus told were very human and very good and very distinctive to the humans and helpful to them. Now, are you ready, really? Are you ready, really, to live on the absolute level? Are you ready, really, to live in the absolute consciousness? Are you ready, really, to take a sword and cut a child in half? Oh, my God. What a terrible thing you do to yourself. Are you ready, really, to do that? Not that you have to do it. Not that you have to do it. But are you ready to be your own master in every way? When you are, then you'll have the answer. Then you'll know the truth about yourself. It's easier to be human than an absolute being. It's easier to be a human being than an absolute being, because to be a human being is what everyone around you is being. To be an absolute being is what, when you close your eyes to the human world and open your eyes to the divine world, then you see it. Do you know? In the divine world, if I may say this, the flowers are always in bloom. The trees are always in fulfillment. You say, well, there's no budding, there's no growing old, there's no dropping away. No, the tree is a tree with the leaves always perfect. The flower is a flower with the flower always perfect. That's the ideal idea. That's the absolute idea. Now, if you have trees, flowers, and so forth, growing and dying and things like that, that's not the ideal. That's merely what humanity has created for themselves to look at it. You see the child as a little child, and you see the old man as an old man. And you look at the ideal man, he's young and robust and dynamic. Well, look at the young child. He's dynamic, robust, and vital, as the old man is dynamic, robust, and vital. And that's what they really are always. Now, when you have the eyes to see that, you will see that. You see, the child is not born as a little child into this world. We have created him as humans as a little child because we thought that'd be charming to take care of him. And a man has not been growing old to go into senility and age, but we have created him doing that because we wanted to get rid of him. And we created him getting rid of him through those acts. Now, what if every person in the universe were born in their ideal age, and let's say their ideal age is ageless, you know. So they're 20, 40 something, you know, in that perfect ideal age where they have knowledge, they have wisdom, they have perfect body, every organ, action, function of their body is at peak, you know, and this is the ideal. Could that be? Yeah. Certainly could. Now, that is an absolute concept. And for you as a human being to think that absolute concept takes just a little jump, a little leap in belief. But you can do it. More quantum leap, you know. But it's a leap, and you can do it. Yes, being human is easy. That's the way we've been trained. Is there anyone on earth, anyone on earth who has the patience and the awareness to treat absolute consciousness? And I don't want you to say, Herb, you're doing that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm working with you and encouraging you to leave the human behind and walk the divine path of the absolute now in every area of your life. And you are grabbing with tooth and nail not to let go. You are crying with every scream that's within you, with your primal yell, no, 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 I don't want to come out of the womb. It's comfy in here, you know. Each place is comfy. Each place is nice. Each place is great, you know. And you're playing these games. But when you cease to play the game and start being the absolute concept that you are, wow, how great it is. I think on these things, they are kind of fun. And it's just where you are, and just where you belong, and just where I belong, and just where I am. And I love you very much, because I see you doing that right now. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.